We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. Today, we're focusing on some great services being offered by the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. And we have two new co-responders at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. And first of all, if you would identify yourselves and tell us what a co-responder is. I'm not sure I know what that is.
I'm Emily. I'm a co-responder out on patrol with the Sheriff's Office. And I help those in crisis and with mental health issues and disorders.
Very good. Emily, good to have you with us.
And my name's Christina. I'm actually the community outreach coordinator, and my position mainly focuses on getting residents connected to social services within the community and helping them when they do come in contact with law enforcement and helping law enforcement, you know, reach out and get help.
Now, are these new areas? Law enforcement obviously is changing over the years. Our society is changing. So what has brought on the change? Because this is pretty different from going out and arresting the bad guys.
Yeah, it definitely is changing. I think just with mental health issues increasing in general in our country, I think that people saw the need for this position to be created. And so that's why we're here, just trying to help more people out. And sometimes with mental illness, instead of being incarcerated and put in jail, there's other avenues to get them help.
So we see with the population at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center increasing as far as having mental health issues, is the system, the penal system, is that becoming the new home for taking care of persons who are mentally challenged? I mean, it seems like, because we don't have the facilities we had in the earlier years.
Yeah, I think once they shut down all the mental health facilities and hospitals and things like that, there really hasn't been another avenue for them to seek help. Mostly it's just outpatient or expensive inpatient treatment a lot of people can't afford. So unfortunately, it has tended to go towards the legal system.
And that has created a challenge, obviously. Now, Emily, you mentioned you work with the deputies actually as they're out in the field.
Yes.
What are some of the duties that you see? What are some of the things that you do for the sheriff's office?
I can help the deputies understand some mental health illness is better. So if they do go to a call where somebody's in crisis and it may be due to a mental illness or something of the sort, then I can help that person, calm that person down, give them resources, give the officers resources, give them suggestions on what would be a good avenue instead of just arresting them or incarcerating them and then having them get out and have this issue reoccur because their mental illness was not dealt with.
So basically you make it hopefully a safer situation and a safer end results.
Yes.
When they're out there having to arrest someone.
Yes, yes.
So what is the most challenging event, without giving us names and locations, mm-hmm. but what are some of the things? It'd be nice to sort of get a feel of what is the, actually a day with Emily, what would that be like?
Like I said, I go out on patrol and I wait for the behavioral calls to come in, and then I'll go to those scenes and I'll just talk directly with the person, kind of figure out what's going on. 99% of the time, they just need somebody to talk to understand them. And then I can kind of give them some coping skills, help work them down. That way the officer can have a conversation with them instead of just having to detain them or something due to violence or outbursts.
Do you work with these persons once they are put into the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center? Because obviously they still have their issues.
I believe we have resources for that. I don't personally work with them once they're already incarcerated. I just work with them out on the street while they're in their home or while the officer is dealing with them out on the street.
Okay, and Kristen, do you take over from there, the community outreach?
Once they're, if they are arrested and brought into the jail, they do have the healthcare side of things that they work with, and there are some other individuals that work once they're once they have been arrested. We are trying to kind of maybe avoid the arrest to begin with, address the underlying cause, and maybe try to reduce the numbers that we have in the jail system, just because obviously it has reached, it's getting to a maximum number, and that's everywhere. So we're hoping to kind of cut it off before it happens, and that's kind of where we come in. But there are people to help them once they get in.
So are we pretty close to that max right now?
I have no idea. That's above my pay grade, and I don't know the numbers of all that, just because we mostly focus on the people that are not here.
Okay, yet. So you're trying to avoid putting them there.
Right, correct.
So they have to be somewhere. Otherwise, if they're still out on the streets, the problem hasn't been resolved.
Right.
What do you do?
Well, there's quite a few resources available in Rutherford County to help with housing, payment stipends, or they can get mental health care, which can help lead them into a job and get placement and things like that. Unfortunately, it is a really complicated thing because it's not just like a one kind of fix. You have to focus on so many areas of their life. But there's a lot of great resources available. So,
what is the most common issue that someone has? Like schizophrenia, any of those?
I would say the most common is probably depression and anxiety. Especially, I mean, it's a hard world to live in right now. There's so much going on. There's so many people are having problems paying their bills and things like that. And so, and one thing can kind of, your whole world can crumble. So I think depression and anxiety are probably the most common, schizophrenia being less so. And then the drug problem is also plays into that as well.
Yeah, I would say I see a lot of depression, especially now with like the holidays coming up and stuff. It can be a really hard time for people.
We've had broadcast recently about sad the you know issue with the darkness. We're moving into Saturday is the first day of winter, shortest day of the year, 9 hours of light, and the rest is dark. And that is depressing, and it's creating issues. It does every year. Seasonal affective disorder, I believe.
Yes.
So is that playing a big part in what you're seeing?
I think that definitely plays a role. The holidays in general, for law enforcement, for healthcare, for everybody, they see higher admission rates, higher arrest, everything like that. Suicide rates go up. I mean, it's hard for people, whether it be the weather, the season changing, holidays with the family, they're stressful, maybe don't have family, that type of thing. So it definitely plays into the part of everything.
And we, WGNS, tries not to broadcast news of people who have committed suicide. We feel like that family has already had enough without us adding to it. However, sometimes we need to give some information because at periods, some of the public's at risk. And I guess, Emily, that's where you step in. When the public is at risk, you're there with the deputy trying to resolve the issue and calm the person down. That has to be hard.
It can be. It can be, especially when somebody's like in like a deep crisis, like this has been ongoing. It can be hard to kind of work them down, but like she said, like there's resources, so we can connect them with a counselor to help them. Maybe it's like a medication issue, maybe they need to go see a doctor. We can, you know, help them. Some people want to like go to the hospital and get checked up on and want to get help, so we can help, you know, with that. Or just there's so many different resources that like I know of and that I know Christina knows of, so that we can work with them to try and get them the help they need so that they don't fall into this again.
Let me ask you this, because as people who have emotional issues, they're inside, locked in, don't want to see anybody, and you're trying to give them help. They look outside and they see, and I can see why we use these vehicles, because we want to protect our law enforcement officers, but they look outside and they see an armored vehicle driving into their driveway with a giant battering ram on the front. And they see that battering ram pushing in the garage door. Does that make your job harder when they see that?
When they see the police vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have had a couple instances.
I mean, it's not just cars.
Yeah. I've had some instances where people, they say they get more scared. But that's why I'm not a police officer. And I'm a co-responder. And I dress differently than them. So, and I, that's one of the first things I tell people is I'm not an officer. I'm here to listen to you. I'm not here to arrest you. I'm not here to do anything like that. Like, I'm just here to listen and help you. I want to help you. And once I tell them that, they open up a lot more and they talk to me about it. Sometimes they might request, you know, oh, can me and you just talk or something like that. And the officers stay nearby just for everybody's safety. But they can just talk to me. Because I know that that can be scary, especially if somebody has had past dealings with law enforcement, that can make the instance worse. But it's once I tell them that I'm not a cop, they usually calm down.
Do you go in and talk to them one-on-one, or do you talk to them on a phone, or how do you talk to them?
I do talk to them. I can talk to them one-on-one. Usually I have at least one officer by me, and I just let them know, like, this officer is here for everybody's protection, but like I said, I'm not a cop, and you can talk to me. You can tell me whatever you need to tell me. And they're still usually able to do that, and they feel more comfortable with that than having, you know, maybe six officers standing around plus me.
Do the relatives have any clue that their loved one is having some issues?
Yeah, I would say sometimes we have relatives call in the issue. Sometimes we have relatives that just want us to do a welfare check, make sure that they're okay because they know that the holidays are a hard time or they know winter's a hard time. But I would say most, if the person does have relatives nearby or in their life, that they are aware.
By the way, if you have a question that you would like to ask, we do take text messages, and our text number is 615-893-1450. If you have a question, just text it in to us, and we will try our best to answer it for you. 615-893-1450. In fact, we have a question here from a listener who says, I have a relative who is chemically imbalanced, and they get on their medications and are doing fine, and they start doing so fine that they think that they're cured, and then they quit using their medications and they're back again. I don't know whether they realize that they've gone back. What can I do?
I would say that happens kind of quite a bit. People
feel great. So this person's not alone?
No.
Not at all. No.
They're definitely not alone. People feel great. They stop their medications and then it goes downhill from there. But they can call in if they're worried about their relative. They can call you know, the sheriff's office and ask for the officer to do a welfare check. If this is reoccurring, you know, whenever this they feel like their relative is in a bad spot, they can just call in, have somebody check up on them, and we'll go out there. Especially if they have a known mental health issue, then they'll send a co-responder out there typically so that they can go talk to them.
And it's definitely a cycle for people. They do that. I mean, people with mental health issues do that a lot. People don't want to be dependent on medication, or they can't afford the medication, so they come off of it. I think the biggest thing is staying in some type of a therapy or counseling, and also keeping a schedule to be able to make sure the medications are taken. Being really strict with the schedule really helps with that. So.
How can you assure that? How can you? Because I can see how this person, you start feeling good and you think, hey, I'm well.
Right. For a family member, it's very hard. I mean, you can't force anybody to take medication. That's not legal. So it's really just being there, encouraging them. You know, it can help to just check in with them and see how they're doing. And if you feel like that maybe they do need more help, make sure they are going to see their counselor. Unfortunately, mental health is it's a really hard issue to deal with. It really is. But really just being there for them.
Here's another question. I have a relative who has their former veteran. Are there any veterans benefits? It's been a long time since they were in the military. And do the benefits run out?
So they would have to check with the VA on that to see what benefits are. I know they have a lot of resources for veterans. So if they wanted to check with the VA, they could see if they were eligible. And hopefully they'd be able to get some help.
Okay. Isn't there a VA group here in town, a veterans group?
Yes, there's quite a large VA hospital here.
Okay. So best place is to check, just call out there or drop by or whatever?
I would call, yeah, just call directly to the VA, and as long as probably have the name and social security number and birthday, and they'll be able to hopefully give you some information.
All righty. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause and check on the traffic and weather. We will be back and continue the conversation. Emily and Kristen are with us. They're from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. They are not officers. They are here to help people who are having mental issues, mental health issues. They go with the law enforcement officers, especially to help in crisis situations where an arrest might be made or just coming in. You try to avoid the arrest, though. That's difficult to do sometimes. We will be right back. Stay with us.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
From brakes and alignments to new tires and wheels, Tire World, locally owned and operated in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Online at tireworld.us.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other room. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. Demas has offered gift cards that you can get in any value. You know, those times where someone gives you gifts you weren't really prepared. It's one of those things that's nice and easy to hand back out, but they're amazing gifts for teachers, for family and friends, and we always offer specials depending on how many gift cards that you get as well. You can go straight down to the restaurant, and our cashiers are happy to help you with any of those gift cards. Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. This Christmas, give your pet the gift of safety in the car with purchase of a Rufflin kennel here at Animal City. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. Just like we protect our kids with car seats in the car, we can protect our pets with a Rufflin kennel for travel. We are happy to keep a variety of sizes, styles, and colors in stock. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. We'll see you there.
Periods of showers and storms here early this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies with temperatures steady early, then slowly falling throughout the day. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 34. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 62.
Here at Bell Jewelers, we have the classic tennis bracelet along with the new style that's called the Flex Bangle. So it looks like a tennis bracelet, but it has a little bit more structure, like a bangle bracelet that you think of. So it's the perfect option if somebody feels like they're a little bit rougher on their jewelry or just likes a little bit more structural. The Flex Bangle is the new hot thing at Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street across from Toots.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're talking this morning about some new ways of helping people who are in trouble. And as you mentioned, you try not to arrest them. Is that usually the case? Are you able to avoid that usually?
So far, we have been. Obviously, if they commit a harsh crime, then some arrests aren't avoidable, but we do try to avoid them, especially if they are in a mental health crisis. We try to get them mental health help before arresting.
What age groups do you see? Would we be surprised that some really young people are?
I work with all ages. So, yeah, they range from young children to, you know, the older generation, but we work with all ages.
So let's say a parent is having some real challenges, and I guess some young children are physically pretty good size, and so a parent can get frightened, probably, and they don't know what to do. They've tried everything, but they are at wit's end, so to speak. Do they call you? Is that what they do? Kristen, you probably would be the first to get the call.
Well, actually, probably most of the time they will call the sheriff's office directly to get an officer to come out. And obviously, if anybody feels like they're in danger, obviously definitely call. And then once Emily gets on scene with them, she can provide some resources. There are some resources that are specifically tailored for adolescents because they do need to be treated differently when it comes to their mental health. Obviously, there are different stages. And so those resources can be provided to help parents.
Do young people realize more than older people that they have a mental problem, that something is not quite right?
I want to say it's more accepted maybe with the younger generations, and there's more education on it now. Mm. So the younger generations are able to understand more what like a mental health illness is, or they are better able to understand, you know, this isn't right, something's going on with me, and then they can go get help. A lot of times it's people just aren't aware of the resources out there, so they just don't do anything about it, and that's where we can step in and help them with resources or help them, you know, with getting set up with a doctor's appointment. A lot of people that don't have insurance are just scared that they're not going to be able to get help, so they don't try to get help, but we can help them.
So help is always available.
Yes.
Is it always curable? And that has to be frightening for not only the parents, if it's a child involved, but it's got to be very frightening for the person who has the mental issue.
Yes, it's not always, mental health issues can't be cured always. So sometimes medication management is the best route to go, or counseling to help manage those symptoms or help manage the things that come along with, you know, like depression or autism or something like that. But it can be frightening for the parents and also the child. But that's where we step in and we try and teach them about the resources, teach them about maybe the mental health issue that is going on or occurring, or suggest things to them that could be potentially beneficial to them. And that's where we try and help them, is more management.
We have a question here from a listener who's saying that they have a loved one who has an addiction brought on by opioids. Would those ever create a lasting mental issue that would be difficult to correct? Do opioids...
So the opiate addiction in the country as a whole is definitely, it's become an epidemic. And unfortunately, those type of drugs, they can cause everlasting effects even once the drugs are stopped, just depending on the amount that's used.
So obviously, it's not the type, it's the amount.
Well, it could be the type, the amount, what's in it. These days, so many new drugs are being created that we don't even know what's in them and what they're doing to the brain. So, unfortunately, sometimes it's impossible to guess an outcome, but it can have permanent lasting effects.
Well, you're not working, in some cases, with reputable drug companies who watch what they put in these.
Right.
So sometimes they're looking at the bottom line and could care less about the effect on the person.
And it, with the human body and the brain, it's just really hard to, whether they're prescribed drugs and not taken appropriately, or they're street drugs bought in different forms, you know, they can affect everyone differently. So
that brings negatively. That brings around another question. I guess these start in school. I mean, young people, what are some things that parents could be looking for and wishing to avoid this beginning? Are there any telltale clues, or is it just once they're on it, the damage is already done?
I would say,
can you get a little closer to your mic?
Yes, for some reason? I would say typically if the child is showing any signs of like depression or anxiety, those can be some clues. But or if they're, you know, not leaving their room as often, or, you know, there's physical signs of drug use that they can tell. But I mean, it kind of all depends on the person.
I think also keeping an open dialogue is really pertinent for children and their parents, especially now. A child could take one pill at a party for fun and it have lethal consequences. So
one can do it.
Yeah. With the fentanyl and everything that's being put in these drugs these days. So really having an open dialogue and really telling your children, you know, the dangers of it. Unfortunately, just kind of ignoring it, kind of ignoring the elephant in the room is not going to help fix the situation. So I think that's a really big thing. And just watching for changes in the behavior.
I wonder if parents really, I mean, when you said that, I'd never heard that before. I wonder if parents hear that. I mean, one pill can be it.
Mm-hmm. I've worked in my background before. I took this job here, was in healthcare as a nurse, and I worked in addiction nursing as well. And from these drugs that people are getting off the streets and they're being pressed with other drugs, sometimes they'll think they're taking, you know, like a benzo, like a Xanax, and it'll actually be fentanyl. And one dose can actually have lethal effects. So it's very, very dangerous. I won't even accept Tylenol from somebody just because you never know what's in it. So it's very dangerous.
So is Tylenol one that's being pushed on people and they think that it's, I mean, you could innocently try to, oh man, I've got a splitting headache, and somebody says, here, have a Tylenol.
No, if you know the person and you trust them, then you know you're probably fine. It's mostly when people buy the pills off the street or something like that.
Okay, so be careful.
Got to be careful, yep.
Okay, and there's no way to just don't get something from somebody you don't know.
Exactly, and there's not, even looking at a pill, I mean, people are getting very creative. They can make a fake pill or, you know, something like fentanyl, make it look like something else. And so even if you think that you're taking what you're taking, but you got it from an unknown source, it could be dangerous. So
and one pill can mess you up. How soon do you know that that's that pill? That's that one pill. I mean, you don't just die instantly, do you?
Unfortunately, if it was something laced with fentanyl, it could be something very, I mean, if EMS or somebody was not alerted very quickly, it could happen in a matter of hours. If somebody doesn't get there with Narcan, if it was an opiate, for example.
They would die.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be dead. That's a bad clue.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have any warnings.
Right.
What is their purpose in giving out the, I mean, they're not selling them to you, they're giving them to you, and if they're that dangerous, they're not going to get you addicted so you go, you know, keep buying from them, or that you help them sell. If you're dead, you can't do anything. So what's the purpose in that? Are these just bad people that are,
well, I think that what happens is because it's not controlled by like the FDA or somebody that's actually making the pills and making them consistently, you don't actually know what you're buying, and you don't know whether it has 10% of a lethal substance in it or 90% of a lethal substance. So when you're taking that, you know, things, it might be the lethal dose that you got. You just don't know.
We have another question in, and this was keeping in with the trends in the news. Do you ever get involved in sex trafficking, and is that part of this situation of drugs and things of that sort?
So we directly do not get involved with sex trafficking. We do have detectives and everything, and that's their area of expertise, but we don't deal with that directly.
Okay, but we do have that here in Rutherford County. I mean, we're not immune to that.
Yes, sir.
We've got all the crimes that you hear about everywhere.
We're one of the fastest growing counties, and you know, so yeah. We're going to have all of that.
I heard somewhere that by 2050, I believe it was, we may be the second largest county in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's bigger than Memphis.
Yeah, the rate of growth is just crazy around here. I went to MTSU and I've left in like 2013, and then coming back this year, I mean, everything's different. It's grown up. There's buildings everywhere. The fields are gone. So it's insane how quickly it's growing.
And also the issues that you're working on, mm-hmm, are exploding.
Right. And that's not just here. That's everywhere. Unfortunately, it's not something that's, you know, specific to our area. That's just countrywide.
Are there parents' classes? Are there classes where parents can learn? I mean, because I don't think most parents can sit down and talk with their child about you need to avoid this, you need to do this, because I don't think they know it either.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely parenting classes out there, and really for all ages. And they're developing more and more classes, and it's sad to say they're developing more training, education type things for even like shooting drills, mass shootings, those kind of things. So they have classes to teach parents how to talk to their kids about drugs. And those are available in the community. So, you know, if they wanted to, they could call us up and we could find one for them to attend.
So you can connect them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is a good number to call you on? Let's see, what is that number? I know you don't call it that often.
I was going to say, I never call my number.
Oh, boy. We're talking this morning with Emily and Christine, and they're with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, and they're helping people who are on drugs, who have mental issues, trying to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. And my number is 615-487-1303.
Okay. So if you have questions about where can I get help, where can I have a parenting class, where can I learn more about this or something else, 615-487-1303. Do these classes usually cost money, or are they just...
Typically, they are free of charge. Sometimes there might be a small fee associated with them. It just depends on who's putting them on at times. Also depends on where they are. I know... one of our departments, they have free classes on how to install your car seat in your car. So safety for children in general. So a lot of them are free.
There used to be a class at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office called something about a boot camp. Mm-hmm. Is that still available? And how do you do that? I mean, that gets parents and children involved, doesn't it?
I believe so. I don't know that much about it. I'm actually not quite sure if it's still going either.
Okay.
That's not something that I deal with. That's not something she deals with either, but I do know what you're talking about.
So, and that was with unruly children to try to get the parents and the child back together on the same level playing field. And that's sort of what you do. I mean, you go out to a situation and it's gotten beyond the safe point of the level playing field. These people have real issues. If someone's called one of the deputies to, I don't know what to do, come out right now.
Yeah.
What's the mood when you get there? Is it always pretty much the same? Do you know before you get there sort of what to expect?
Yeah, we try and get as much information as we can to know like what we're walking into, but just staying calm. And you know, no matter what their mood is at, you stay calm because they're more likely to meet you down at calm. But if you get escalated just like they are, then it's just going to keep getting escalated. So just walking in, staying calm, talking slowly, not raising your voice, things like that. That's what we try to do, when we walk into a situation like that, because getting escalated and getting at their level is just going to make things worse. But staying calm can definitely bring them down, especially if you continuously talk to them calmly. Then they're going to be like, okay, I don't need to yell anymore. Like, she's not yelling at me. And they become more calm, too.
When they yell, are they reacting the way they've seen maybe parents or friends or loved ones react to them?
Yeah, if they're children... sometimes it is just stuff that they've observed. And, you know, if they see somebody else yelling at somebody else and they're like, oh, well, that's what I should do, too, if I feel angry. So sometimes it is. But if you stay calm, you're kind of teaching them you don't need to yell. You don't need to be angry. This person. And sometimes I'll even tell them, like, I'm being nice to you. You know, can you be nice to me as well? And I've had people be like, oh, yeah, and then they just like stop yelling. So they just need to know that like they don't need to be angry and they don't need to yell at you to get their point across.
Is that hard to do? The reason I ask that is I'm thinking parents are listening right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have accidentally been yelling because they get all disturbed, and I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
If they could slow down, relax, mm-hmm. and not get angry, would that change things in their house?
I think that it definitely depends on the situation, but I think that if you're dealing with a mental health crisis, then staying calm and not, you know, freaking out, that's energy feeds off energy. So if you're freaking out and they're already freaking out, then it's just going to keep getting worse. But if you try and stay calm, try and keep the situation under control, think clearly, things like that will definitely slow down the situation and make it more calm than if you were to yell and just try and do something as quickly as possible. You're not able to think as clearly.
We have a listener who's asking about alcohol. Is that a substance that creates issues, or
yes?
Is it? Okay.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, so it must really be a problem then.
Yes.
All ages.
Yeah. There's people start using drugs and alcohol when they're kids, 10 years old. You know.
And it's readily available. It's legal. There's less stigma associated mm-hmm. with it, and so people, you know. They're easier access. It's just, it's around everywhere. There's commercials, there's billboards, so it's definitely an issue.
Is it always liquor, or is it sometimes beer? Is it wine?
It can be any of those, yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And I guess, like you said, it's readily available.
Right. Could be in the house with kids. And also, I wanted to mention just kind of with parents and children, another great resource that we have are our SROs that are in the schools, our school resource officers. And so that's another avenue that people can always, they have classes as well. And so that's another resource that parents can use.
Let's talk a little more about the SROs. We will do that in a moment. We're going to pause and we'll be right back. Emily and Kristen are with us from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
Do you love to read?
Love to read.
Tell us about the library at Adams Place.
We have an amazing library. It's like a library at a big estate. You know, there are just so many books. You just come, pick out one you want, take it home, read it, take it back. It's just great.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here. And so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. This holiday season, MTE wishes you and your loved ones a Merry Christmas and a bright new year. Thank you for making our community shine. Happy holidays from Middle Tennessee Electric.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. We're talking this morning about new ways to calm down people who have mental issues, and they're at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Kristen and Emily are with us. It's 63 degrees right now. If you are wondering why you're a little chilly outside, that's a little chilly when you throw in some sprinkles here and there occasionally. A little breeze all adds up to chilliness. Our phone number, if you have a question, you can text us a question, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We're mentioning the SRO, School Resource Officers. They do a great job, and they do help in this area, you say.
We don't work directly with them, but, I mean, our officers in the schools are amazing. I mean, obviously, they make everyone feel safe, but to listen to them talk about the kids at the schools, or even hear the kids talk about them, they have such a great close bond and relationship, one of respect, and, you know, they can have fun and laugh, but they're there to keep everybody safe, but they have a good time too. So it's a really great program.
Do children share concerns about their friends who are having some of these issues? Do they talk among themselves? Do they share it with the SRO?
I would imagine that definitely. I mean, you know, probably among friends, they probably definitely talk about it. Sometimes it can be harder to go to a parent. And so having the resource officer there for them at school can be a great kind of outlet, safe space that they feel like they can say something and maybe not get around to everybody else in school, that type of thing. So it's a great outlet for them.
A parent's writing in this question. They say, how can I create that safe feeling, the bond of friendship between my child and I? Or do I want to create a bond of friendship?
That one might be out of our field of expertise. With children, I mean, it's communication. For me and my child, that's, I'll say, speak for myself. Keeping communication, open lines, that kind of thing.
The reason I mentioned that, this person brings it up and it came to mind, people are always saying, this child is my best friend. Well, should they be your best friend or should they be your child? It's hard to discipline your best friend. And maybe this child needs discipline.
Right.
Or at least structure.
Right. They need a parent, not another best friend. Right.
Yeah. I think it definitely depends on the child. Yeah, you can be friends with your kid. I mean, I feel like you should be friends with your kid a little bit. But just making sure that they do have that structure and that if they do need to be disciplined, if they are doing something wrong, not just, you know, being like, oh, you know, I wouldn't do that and moving on, but actually, you know, disciplining them for it or telling them why it's wrong, you know, and not just brushing it off and moving on. I think that would help. And also just like letting them know that it's okay for them to talk to you about anything. If they come to you with a concern or if they come to you with an issue, not, you know, judging them for it or pushing them down for it, you know, saying, well, you should have known better, like, what is wrong with you, something like that is just going to make the child feel like they can't really talk to you. But you know, still disciplining them when they need to be disciplined, if that makes sense.
I've got a feeling that there's a parent listening right now who's thinking, I've done a terrible job. I don't know what to do. It's probably too late. Is it ever too late?
I don't think so. I think if you ignore it because you're saying it's too late, then you're definitely not going to get help, but you could at least try.
Yeah, and parenting's hard. I mean, that's just hands down. Parenting is probably one of the hardest things to do. And everyone makes mistakes as parents. So it's just reach out, find resources, and get help. It's the best thing you can do is just ask somebody for help.
And again, you've got the resources.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People just need to ask you. You don't know that they're needing the resources. They need to call you and say, hey, I need some help.
Right. And asking for help is not admitting that you failed, or even if it is admitting you failed, things are hard. And asking for help is not a sign of weakness or anything like that. We're here that's what we want to do. Help us fulfill our jobs and let us help you, you know? So.
And it'll make your life, I mean, the parent's life and the child's life better.
Right, right.
I mean, you can have, it's Christmas time. People need to be together, happy. Mm-hmm. You can have that Norman Rockwell feeling.
Right.
If you create this happiness.
Right.
It doesn't happen instantly, though, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen instantly, and it definitely takes work. But if everybody that's involved is willing to work on it, then relationships can be mended, things can be changed. It's not like it's permanent and set forever. So
and I guess the younger the child, the more easily it is to correct, or is that true?
Oh, I don't know. My 5-year-old's crazy. I don't know. It just depends on what the situation is and what the specific child. So it's different for everybody.
Do you ever see children, you mentioned 5-6-year-olds, are they ever on drugs, alcohol, things of that sort? I can't even imagine that, but there are a lot of things I can't imagine.
I would think that's way less common. Unless accidental overdose, ingestion, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I would say definitely accident just from having it around.
Is that thunder?
It is thunder.
Holy mackerel. Wow. I think we're getting a message there. I had not expected that. I heard Ryan doing the weather saying we can expect some storms today, but that's serious.
I think they're here.
For those of you who are listening on our streaming service in some distant place, I'm sure you heard that too. That we don't usually hear the thunder inside the building quite like that. At any rate, we have about a minute left in our program. Are there any final thoughts you want to share with people? Share your phone number once again, if you would. I've got it written down in case
Yeah,
my don't have it.
My number is 615-487-1303.
Okay, just call you if you have questions dealing with parenting or
just any type of social service, any resource in the community. I'd be happy to find something and connect them up to somebody that has that needs something.
Very good. That's Kristen. And Emily, any thoughts? Because you're the one that goes out with the officers and you see firsthand what's going on. Any suggestions you have for parents who are having some real issues right now?
I would just touch on asking for help again. It takes a lot of strength to, you know, face the fact that something is wrong and that you do need help and to own up to that. So just asking for help, it doesn't, like she said, it doesn't show you're weak. It shows you're strong. So, you know, call Christina, call the sheriff's office, ask them for resources, tell them what's going on, ask them for help. And if I'm out on the road and we get called, then I'll give you some help.
So don't be afraid to ask for help. And remember, it's never too late to ask for help. Let me give you Kristen's number again, 615-487-1303. 615-487-1303. Thank you for all that you do to bring a little hope to a lot of people who need that hope.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Much more to come. We do it local every day right here on your Good Neighbor station. And we're just about a week away from our 78th anniversary at the radio station. Yeah, it was 78 years ago that this station came on the air in 1947. We rang in the new year. As we approach the new year, we'll be telling you more about that. Stay with us. Have a super rest of the day.